Well, good morning, everyone. I get the honor and the privilege to give you the word for today. And Nimi was getting a bit carried away, wasn't he? He was about to take my whole world. Yes, You know, me and Nimi haven't seen each other this morning, but he was going on and I was like, sir, you need to put some brakes on that because I'm not going to have anything to say. And we would not want that now, would we? Bless you, Nimi. I do love you. Isn't it amazing what God does? Is that I'm here in my room preparing the word. The Lord is placing things on Nimi's heart. And you know what? That's just the God that we serve. He is everywhere. He is moving. It's not like he just says some random thing here, then he sends another random thing there, and then we're all just supposed to just stand and just figure it out. No, that is not the God that we serve. The God that we serve is so intentional, and he's so purposeful. So I had a title for the word for today, but really, to be honest, it's actually about obedience and the waiting. And I was like, oh, man, okay, you need to, I really was focusing on Nimi's prayer. But at the same time, I was like, Lord, you just got to come through if he does take the whole preach, because I don't know what I'm going to say. And we wouldn't want that. We would not want that. But I am very excited to be with you this morning. And we are going to continue with our series. We're just taking a little bit of a pause because our dear Pastor Steve is not feeling well. But in that, it's kind of connected, but yeah, he'll catch up with the notes next week. We just go on the journey with me. Just bear with me. So if you're looking for a title, it is Obedience in the Waiting. And this is a tough one because 2 months ago, I received the promise of the waiting. And Pastor Steve was like, Taffy, this is amazing. Do you know what? We got to get you to testify and share with the church about it. And I was exhausted. This has been one serious journey. And I just looked at him, you know, what all good congregation people do when their pastor says something. You look at them and you're like, mm-hmm. In your heart, you're like, mm-mm. And I said, Lord, I know I'm being obedient right now, but I am not ready to share this story. I am not ready to share this testimony because I am tired. I am exhausted. I have been battered and bruised left, right, and center. And literally, yes, I am excited that the promise has come to be, but I just need to catch my breath. Maybe for a while. You know, he's thinking maybe like in the next week or so. I'm thinking, let's give it a year. Yeah, let's give it a year. I think I'll have a better testimony in a year's time. But, you know, 2 months later, here I am about to give you a testimony. You know, these are some of the questions that I went through. What happens when God has spoken something, but you are still waiting for the promise to be fulfilled? That's obedience. What happens when you have tasted and experienced a little bit of what this dream looks like, right? You've been in it. You've lived it. You're like, man, I finally found my tribe. I finally found the thing that I was created to do right here on this earth. What if that happens to you, but circumstances have led you away from that and nothing around you looks like the promise that he had spoken? Do you make your version of the plan whilst you're waiting? I'm very good at that. I love planning, you know? I love a good plan. I think some of you love a good plan, you know? God has said something and you're like, yes, I see it. 1 week goes, maybe let's not say 1 week. 1 day goes by, 2 days, you're like, it's coming. A week goes by, you're like, hello, you said, where is it? When is it happening? Then you're like, oh, you need me to help you? I will help you. How many of you have helped God in the thing that he has spoken? Yeah? Yeah, I'm going to help you, Lord. So while we're waiting for it to happen, let me do some helpful things that will just speed up the process. We don't say speed up the process, though. In our hearts, we want to speed up the process. But we say something holy like, you know, while I'm waiting, let me just still be so close to you. I don't know. You choose your words. But while you're waiting, you're deciding what it's going to look like. You're going to take matters into your own hands and you're going to go back on what used to be comfortable. So while you're waiting for that thing to happen that he has said, you look for something that is tangible, that is familiar, that you have done before. Has he said, has God said, oh no. But you know what? It looks good. It looks good and we've done it before and it's worked before. So you know what? Let's just go and do that. What happens when you are obedient to what he has said and you have taken that step? Now he has spoken, you have moved away, you have come, and now you're waiting for that promise to happen. What happens when you're waiting and being obedient, but you've gotten your timelines wrong? How many of us get our timelines wrong? You know, I'm sure even though God said, walk around Jericho for 7 days, I'm telling you, I bet you the Israelites were like, day one, any minute now, he's going to do it. Because, you know, the manna would just come. You know, when they needed bread, it would come. When they needed something to eat, to drink, it would just come. They didn't really wait that long. So now you're told to go around Jericho 7 times. You're like, day one, yeah, it's great. Day two, yeah. Day three, I don't know about that. Day 7, is it really going to happen? So for me, in my mind, I thought it was going to be a 3-month waiting journey. 3 months. That 3 months ended up being 3 years. Where is your hope in the waiting? Where is your faith in the waiting? Where is your trust? Are you patient in your waiting? Are you faithful in the small in your waiting? Are you stagnant in your waiting? Are you growing God's family in your waiting? Today, I'm going to share with you about obedience in the waiting. It's not a pretty story. There are no roses and rainbows. It's just a lot of gut-wrenching. Keep going. I'm just going to keep saying yes to him because he is God. Sometimes, even though he has spoken the promise, we just need to keep saying yes. We need to wake up each morning and keep saying yes. Even when it doesn't make sense, it did not make sense. So just a little bit of a snippet about my life and my story. So many of you, but you know what? Some of you are like, she just rocked up 3 years ago. Who is she? But some of you may know who I am. I've been here, I want to say from the beginning with Pastor Steve and Kirsty, but not really, because they were evenings and I wasn't there. So maybe beginning of day, when we started having church during the day, I was there at day one. And to be honest, my commitment was I was just taking my mom so that she could come to the church. And I was fully committed to Portsmouth. I was like, Pastor Andy, love your preaching. I don't know who the Steve guy is. So, you know, I'm going to give you 1 day. That 1 day turned into a few years. And here we are to tell the story. Amen. Isn't God so faithful? So you kind of know my faith journey with God. Like, he loves to just take me on a laughing journey. I want to say laughing journey because I'm not going to say he loves to pull some tricks on me, but I think he pulls some tricks on me. But I love it. I love it in the end. I grow closer to him. But 9 years ago, I went to do a discipleship training school in Australia with Youth with a Mission. I said I was going to be gone for 6 months. 9 years later, I was still there. But, you know, God is good and he's faithful. I loved it. As I said, I found my tribe. I found the people. I found the very thing that I was like, yes, discipleship. This is what I was called for. 24/7 ministry. I am alive. Okay, I have to repeat that, guys. I am alive. I am living my best life. Literally. I am like, what more? What more could you ask me? I was like, this is it. And then just, you know, things like passports. You have to come back and renew your passport. Why do you have to do that? Let me tell you, I tried every consulate. By the way, despite popular belief, I don't have a British passport. I have a Zimbabwean passport. So I tried every consulate in Australia, in Papua New Guinea. By then, I was in Papua New Guinea. And I was like, somebody can renew my passport. I am not going back home to renew my passport. Come on. I got things to do. I'm doing the Lord's work. Come on. Hello, let's get with the program. I tried everything. It didn't work. Next thing, I'm packing my bags. And this is where my 3-month journey comes in. The Lord says, no, you go back to the UK and you sort out your passport. I was like, okay, that's cool. Okay, that usually takes about 3 months, calculating, depending with the Zimbabwean embassy and, you know, people doing a few funny things here and there. You know, if you're African, you know. You just know. I don't even need to describe it to you. You know. And I'm like, let's give it 3 months. We'll give it 3 months. I'm not bringing down my country. But it's real. And it's only if you've been there, you will know. I'll give it 3 months. 3 months was being lenient. I was being kind, okay? 3 months. And the Lord said, stay in the UK until I tell you to come back. I said, okay, 3 months. Yeah, I'll give you 3 months. 3 months is a long time when you're in missions, you know? Like being away for 3 months is like you've gone away for a decade because things are happening every day. So I'm like, okay, guys, I'll be back 3 months. Don't worry. We're going to keep doing what we're doing here. It doesn't work out that way. There was a lot of things happening in our country at that point, and passports were not on the highest list. We had no paper for passport. Paper for the passport. Okay, that's just real. Just real in our country. Anyway, a lot of things were happening. 3 months became a few more months. Whew, we're a year into the journey, right? And I'm like, hello, Jesus. Hello. I'm still going back to Papua New Guinea. My mind, I'm still going back to Papua New Guinea. But here we are, I'm still here. Then I'm like, okay, let's pray. Let's ask the Lord again. What's the deal, God? Am I still supposed to be here? I know I'm supposed to be here. I bring in my pastors. I said, okay, let's pray, guys. What should we do? I bring in my leaders from Youth with a Mission. We pray, and then we're like, do you know what? Since we're waiting, why don't we just look at just applying for your citizenship? You've been there for a while. It's okay. Let's just smash it out. It's only 6 months. By now, I should know about timelines, hey? It says so in the piece of paper. It doesn't quite work well with my life. Anyway, I get my Zimbabwean passport a year later. I go, okay, let's just apply. 6 months. What's another 6 months? I've already done a year. 6 months turns into another year. I'm here, and it's 2 years down the line. And I'm like, okay, Lord, what are you saying? And then the Lord says, pack your bags and move back to the UK. And this is where I want us to start our journey of obedience. I said, but Lord, this is a good thing that I'm doing. There's good things happening here in the UK. Trust me. I love you guys so much. I'm committed to my local church. But you know, there's good things happening there too. And that's where I wanted to be. And the Lord says, come back. And you know, there's one promise that he gave me. He said, I'm not taking away the nations from you. I'm not taking away missions from you. It's just going to look different. I don't think I wanted the different. Because I was like, what's going to happen in the UK? I went to the nations. Oh, Lord. But here we are, 2 years into the journey. And the Lord says, pack up everything. So I want us to open in our Bibles. We're going to stick to these four verses. I don't know. Just bear with me. Proverbs 3 verses 5 to 8. We're just going to stay in these verses and we're just going to unpack it. In the New Living Translation, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Yeah, I'm one of those. Don't be impressed by your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then he will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. There are three things that are highlighted in these verses. Trust, seek, and be in awe of God. And I'm going to focus on those three. And we're going to go to different translations. So stay with me in your Bibles. I'll keep you in the right track. But this translation really depicts the journey that I was on. It said, trust in the Lord completely. And do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you. And he will lead you in every decision you make. This is the Passion Translation. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. Don't think for a moment that you know it all, for wisdom comes when you adore him with undivided devotion and avoid everything that's wrong. Then you will find healing, refreshment your body and spirit long for. Before you even get to verse 8, There is a lot of things that happen before then. Before you find healing and refreshment to your body and what your spirit longs for, there is a lot of trusting, seeking, being intimate with the Lord. And we're going to go on that journey. So remember, he said no to Youth with a Mission and for me coming home. But he did not say no to missions and the nations. It just was going to look a little bit different. And that's the journey that I went on. It started off with trust. Yes, I grieved. I had within the 6 years, we had started a new Youth with a Mission campus in Papua New Guinea. I was passionate about this people group. I was passionate about seeing these young people walk into the fullness of everything that God had for them. Because they were just doing church without the understanding that they could live out what each and every one of those scriptures talked about. And I was like, yes, let's raise up these young people. You know, we raised up a team. I had young Papua New Guineans coming on my team, forsaking everything within their homes. I'm sharing this because I need you to understand why my heart grieved, because they weren't just random people that I was working with. These were people that said yes to the vision. That despite what everybody said, despite what everybody else believed, they were like, yes, we are committed to what God is doing. And a year and a half into the journey, I'm telling them, cheerio, guys. I'm just going to go live in nice, comfy UK and where the electricity never goes and the water runs all the time, because God said, that's a bit hard to understand when you live in a country where that's not your reality. And I felt grieved within my spirit because I said, Lord, it just doesn't make sense. I am working for you. Guys, I wasn't just doing some random thing. I am doing things for the kingdom of God. These are good things. Why would he say, come back? Sometimes the things that we don't understand that God says is so that he can grow us to be all that he has created us to be. So when we are being asked to trust him, he's not saying this just because it's a nice idea. Trusting him completely meant leaving something that was dear and deep to my heart, because I was walking in obedience. We think obedience is nice and it's flowery and it's roses and rainbows. Obedience comes at a cost. Jesus Christ, we've just finished Easter. Jesus Christ's obedience came at a cross, at a cost. And that cost was the cross. It came at a cost. But it keeps getting me, because the verse that says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He looked beyond the cross for the joy that was there. He didn't look at his immediate pain. He looked beyond the pain. And that's the journey that the Lord was taking me through. He gave me space to grieve. But I was still standing in the promise that yes to missions. We're going to move on to verse 6, where it says, become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever he goes. This is the seeking part. So yes, I was trusting him, even though I wasn't believing. Like, I wasn't understanding. I was believing. I believe in God. I believe what he says. I might not have understood why that was happening, but I stepped out in obedience and I trusted him. And now my everyday, I needed to seek him. So I chose to be planted in the church. I wasn't going anywhere. Pastor Stephen Kirstie weren't going to allow me to go anywhere. But anyway, that's okay. That's a story for another day. No, I do love them. I wasn't going anywhere. I chose to stay. But you know what? The church looked very different. Remember, I would come in and out 1 week, 2 week, and I'd be like, hey, I'm that missionary person. Anyway, bye. That was great to see you. But now I was like, hey, I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere. So what's your name? Let's start all over again, you know? I said, okay, Lord, I need to get to know your house again, because I really didn't know the house. There were a lot of new people. But in the knowing of the house, I wanted to go back to what was familiar. I wanted to go back to the teams that were familiar. Because right now, I had nothing. And I just needed something to be like, man, I'm still doing something for the Lord. I need to still be doing something for the Lord. But the Lord said, no, wait. Just be faithful and serve. With no title, with nothing. Just serve. Just be in the house. I have amazing pastors, by the way. And they were very kind. They kept on saying, no, don't jump into anything. And I was like, I'll do anything. Just tell me what to do. I will do it. And they're like, nope. Sometimes I'd come up with something, and then Pastor Steve was very direct. He goes, did God say? And I'm like, oh, about that. Don't you think it's a great idea? Like, there's a gap. I should, you know, just fill it. He said, did God say? And I said, okay, let's go back to the drawing board. You need people in your life that are going to speak the truth. You know, as you are planted in this church, who are the people that you have around you that even when you're going through something you don't quite understand and you're still waiting on the promise, will they pray with you? There were a lot of times I would sit with Pastor Steve and Kirstie, and I really feel sorry for them. You know, I look back and I'm like, it was horrific. I would just sit and they'd be like, okay, so Taffy, and I'm like, look, I got nothing today. My heart was in pain, and they sat with me in the pain. They didn't rush the process. They sat with me in the pain. I had friends who sat with me in the pain. They didn't understand the pain, but they still sat with me in the pain. You need people that will sit with you in the pain, that will pray with you, that will champion you, that will remind you who God has called you to be, even when you're not believing it yet, even when you're not even walking and what looks like God has said. Church, we're not just a Sunday event. We are a family. So I want to encourage you in your seeking of the Lord, in your waiting, how are you building relationships that are going beyond high? How are you being planted right here? Today, are you going to go a little step further and say hi to someone you've never said hi to? Are you going to stick around and not do a dine and dash and have a bit of tea and coffee? And who knows what friendship might come up? Are you going to join a group that's going to encourage you, that is going to strengthen you, that is going to go beyond this massive group where you actually get to know somebody and you let in someone one step at a time? I got to build relationships and let people in. It wasn't easy, but I loved on people. I joined the hosting team. It was beautiful. I love hosting team. I joined the hosting team. That's how I got to know a few more faces and a few more names. I was like, okay, here we go. Let's say hi to people and get to know who everybody is. I joined the hosting team. I served under someone. I was faithful with my everyday while I still had not seen the promise, while I still didn't understand what this meant. I knew the answer in my heart was that God had said this, but living in my now was very hard. Through it all, this was my heart posture. When I had good days and I loved life, I waited on him. When I was frustrated in the waiting, I waited on him. When I didn't understand the process, I waited on him. In the waiting, he exposed my heart. This is the part of being in awe of him. Verse 7 says, don't think for a moment that you know it all. For wisdom comes when you adore him with undivided devotion and avoid everything that's wrong. We were 2 years into the journey. I had my Zimbabwean passport. I was en route to getting my citizenship. Life was looking good. I was serving the Lord, his people. It may not be fully what I wanted. It wasn't looking like missions, but you know what? I was being faithful. And at that moment, in the intimate times when I was spending with him, the Lord said this to me. What greater sacrifice is there than to lay down my life for God's kingdom? And I was like, yeah, that's a great thing. Yeah, that's what I did. I laid down my life for God's kingdom. This is great. And in that moment, he said, no, That is not the greatest thing. The greatest sacrifice, first and foremost, is for me to lay down my life for him. I talked to you about how I was grieving, how I was pained, how I'd left a group of people behind who I'd said, come on the journey. Let's do this great and amazing things. 5, 10 years down the line, it's going to be great. 1.5 years down the line, I'm like, bye, cheerio. Somebody's going to lead you. And in that moment, the Lord exposed my heart. And he said, that had become an idol. And it's hard to believe that ministry can become an idol. It's hard to believe that as I'm loving people, as I'm serving, as I'm building the kingdom, I was in the middle of nowhere. That had become an idol. We think we know best, but somewhere along the line, my first love wasn't God anymore. My first love was what I was doing for God. And it can so easily happen. In that moment, I was filled with so much grief. My grief wasn't so much the team anymore. It was like, wow, this is how I grieve the Lord. That in my serving, that had become more important than he was. But I want to take you on a journey on his loving kindness, because he is so kind and he is so loving. At this point, who am I without missionary work? Who am I without a title? Who am I without a name? Would I wholly surrender to him? Would he be enough for him? What happens when you come face to face with the very thing that should have served him but has become an idol? It wasn't a bad idol. There's no such thing as bad idols or good idols. Idols are just bad, okay? All right, they're just bad. Let's just be clear about that. But you know what? In our minds, we do say good and bad idols. We go, do you know what? That one isn't so bad. Because you know what? I'm doing good things. It's not about the idol. It's about our heart posture. Where is our heart when we are doing all of that? You may have started it great, but somewhere along the line, that became more important than your first love. Where I needed to find my worth and value was in God. And when he removed that away, it exposed that actually my worth and my value was not in him. Because when you're doing stuff for the Lord, it feels like your heart is totally with the Lord. Because, you know, his name was plastered on everything. You know, I'm in missions. I talk about him all the time. We sing about him all the time. But somewhere along the line, he didn't become first. Because if that was taken away from me, would I still love him? Would I still obey him? Would I still worship him with the great gusto I have as I'm on the mission field? That's when you know if something is an idol. It's easy to say, oh no, that's not an idol. But what happens when it's taken away? You know, I'm not a materialistic kind of person. I get blessed with material things. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. And I do like it when I do get blessed with those things. But I'm not someone who seeks material things. And the enemy knows that. Like, I'm not fazed. Like, I'll be like, oh yeah, you can take that. Oh, you can wear that. And my mom might have other thoughts about that. It's just that, okay, anyway, no, we're not going to go down there. It's her birthday today, so be kind and loving to your mother on your birthday. I love her. She's amazing. But, stuff like that doesn't faze me. But that fazed me. That was near and dear to my heart. Maybe you have something in your life that if it was taken away, you would crumble. So where is God in that? The one that you lift up your hands and you worship, if something was taken away, would you run and be like, God, I don't think that's not okay. You're not okay. Sometimes we stay in places longer than what is needed because somewhere along the line, we began worshiping the service rather than the one we serve. And again, it's only when it's taken away do we realize. And that's what the Lord had to do. He had to take it away for me to realize, wow, my grief is because an idol has been taken away from me. Yes, genuinely, I did love the people, but an idol had been taken away. But you know what? The Lord is kind. We come to him and we repent. And I did repent. It took me a while to get over my sadness and be like, can I actually come back to you, Lord? Can I even trust myself in your presence? Maybe I'm cheating myself and thinking I'm good with him, but really it's an idol. But, you know, I got there in the end. But you know one thing I learned in the process? Even though this was exposed by God, he loved me through the healing and the pain, the shame and the guilt. He still stood by my side. I began to see his hand in everything. He loved me through the pain. He loved me enough to pause my life, to expose what was in my heart. He loved me enough to take away what I loved so he could bring back my first love, only to return all of it back 100-fold. In Proverbs 3:12, it says, his discipline is kindness. For the Father's discipline comes only from his passionate love and pleasure for you. Even when it seems like his correction is harsh, it's still better than any father on earth gives to his child. His discipline is kindness. Sometimes we don't look at it that way, but it's from a place of passionate love and pleasure for us. So the next time something is happening to you and you feel like, Lord, why would you take that away? That was so good. He is ready to walk with you in the pain. He is ready to hold your hand in it. And when you're ready to know what that thing is, even if you don't know that that thing is there, he is kind enough to reveal it and walk with you. And finally, so last year in April, I told the whole team very hard. I cried through the whole process. With everyone, with the leaders, I told them and I cried through the whole process, which is very hard because they're like, but God said, why are you crying? Because it's still painful. I cried through the whole process when I told the team, God is still good. And they were very gracious to me. So last April, I went to Papua New Guinea and I packed all my stuff because, by the way, I lived there. I didn't live here. I had nothing here. I lived in Papua New Guinea. So I packed up all my stuff and I came back and I said, okay, Lord, this is it. Let's do this. And in being present, he provided the things that were dearest to my heart. In verse 8, it says, then you will find, Proverbs 3:8, it says, then you will find the healing refreshment your body and spirit long for. My spirit longed for refreshment and healing. I came back. I was faithful in serving the house. I was present here. I had my little job. I still loved missions, discipleship, raising and training the next generations of leaders, but it just looked different. My mission was right here in this area. My discipleship was the small group, connect group that I was a part of. The next generation of leaders were the ones I was walking alongside and mentoring. The nations, well, I stumbled across a group that prays and intercedes for the nation. And I was like, great. But you know what? The beautiful thing is that that very group I stumbled across were the ones that gave me the opportunity for the job I got 2 months ago. The Lord orchestrated. My heart was for nations. My heart was for discipleship. There was a job that was created just for me at an organization. And it had the right names. It was to lead an academy of interns for training them in leadership for 16 weeks. And I would do this as a job. You know, when I got that job, it took a while for me to get there and believe that this was real. But, you know, every time I read it, I thought, this is exactly what I did in Papua New Guinea. Down to the T, exactly what I did. The minute I released it and I let God be God, look at what he brought back, 100-fold, right here in the place that I least expected he would. discipling these young people to be leaders for the next generation. Those very words I said were the very words that were in that advert for that job. When I started my job at the beginning of March, everyone that I met, they kept on saying, oh, you're the one we've been praying for. They weren't just praying prayers to say, oh, Lord, we just need someone to fill a role. They said, we prayed specifically for someone who had experience in this field, who had done it before. God is so kind. He is so kind and he is so loving that even when he exposes the things in our heart, the things in our heart that are not good, that don't please him, in his kindness, he comes in and he holds our hand and he says, guess what, child? I have something so much greater for you. I laid down my family to be in missions. And yeah, that was tough. But 9 years later, I'm still in missions. It looks a little bit different. I'm planted in the UK. I get 12 young people that come from all the different nations to be part of the school. But I'm right here with my family. You never know what is on the other side of your yes. You never know what is on the other side of your obedience. It took me 3 years. I hope it doesn't take 3 years for you. Some things haven't taken 3 years, but this journey, it took 3 years because there was a lot of things that the Lord needed to do. So I pray, church, that as you are faithful in serving God's house, as you are faithful in serving his family, as you make home here, be obedient in the waiting. It's tough. It's not easy. But you know what? My God is so good. I know you see it on this side of the... You see it on the side where I'm like, yay, I got a job. But I don't celebrate in the job. I celebrate in the journey. Because I got to know him in a deeper way. Today, I lift up my hands and I worship him because I know he has my everything. That's the greatest prize that I could ever have. The job is great. I work with some amazing people. But you know what? My God is greater. And he is so faithful. So if there is anything you leave with today, it's to know that in your obedience of waiting, God is so good. And he is so faithful. And I pray that you are encouraged today. All right, let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your kindness. Today I lift you up and I say, Lord, I thank you for your kindness. That it is your kindness that leads us to repentance. It is your kindness that leads us closer to you. So, Lord, I pray that over each and every person in this room, that your kindness would lead them to draw closer to you, Lord. That they would know you're not just a God that tells them to do this, don't do this, but you're a God that lovingly disciplines, that lovingly walks them through a journey. Because on the other end, what is there is far much greater than what we are holding on to on this side. So Lord, I pray for each and every person that in their waiting, that they would hold on to your faithfulness. They would hold on to who you are. And Lord, for the ones that are in pain in the waiting, whether it's physical pain, whether it's heartache, whether they're not yet believing the promise yet, whether they're not yet understanding, Lord, you say that you are close to the brokenhearted. So Lord, I pray that you would be close to each and every person in this room that is feeling that pain, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's heartache. Lord, would you be so close to them, Lord, that they would know that you're a loving God, that in your time, it will come to pass. In your time, they will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I pray that over each and every person. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's continue to have our heads bowed.
If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you've been listening to my story and been thinking, oh, that's great, I want to know who this God is. If this is your first time, I'd love to invite you on a journey to accept Him as your personal Savior. Yes, the road isn't going to be easy, but let me tell you, He is good and He is faithful, and He takes care of His children. So if that is you and you don't know Him, I'd love for you to put up your hand. Everyone's heads are bowed. Put up your hand to take on this journey of saying yes to Him. If that is anyone, feel free to put up your hand. Lord, we thank You for each and every person in this place, that You are God, that You are faithful, that You are more than just our Savior. You are Lord. Lord, as we go about our Sunday, as we go about our day, Lord, would You bless us? Would we know Your kindness in a greater way? And Lord, we pray for our young people who are raising money for youth ministry. Lord, I pray that with every cake that is sold and with every donation that comes, that You would multiply it 100-fold. Thank You, Jesus, that we get to celebrate the next generation and champion them in all that You have created them to be. We pray in no other name but the name of Jesus. Amen.